Open your Bible with me to the book of Psalms. Conveniently, the Psalms are almost at the center point of your Bible. So if you've got a physical Bible right in front of you, just flip that right to the middle. You'll probably land in the book of Psalms. All right. We're trusting this over-the-ear microphone today. Maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. We're at the first psalm. We're at the first psalm. So psalm number one, again, if you've got your Bible, you can follow along with me. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in every season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Sorry, I read that wrong. Which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Let's pause there and pray together. Gracious God, we confess that we cannot live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, our hearts, that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. Friends, have you noticed that everyone is talking to themselves? Now, not out loud, right? Not out loud. Well, maybe sometimes you drive by that person in the car and you see them by themselves and they're just like getting after it by themselves. Are they singing with the radio or are they just arguing with themselves? I don't know. Not out loud, but constantly. There's a conversation that runs in your head and in my head. Maybe you're replaying something that somebody said to you recently or long ago. Maybe you're worrying about tomorrow. From the time you wake up, you're worrying about the day, or you're laying down going to sleep and you're worried about tomorrow. The conversation in your head, you're arguing with someone that isn't even in the room. You're carrying a disappointment or rehearsing a fear. You know this, right? You have the ability to narrate your own life. And Psalm 1 asks us this question. Psalm 1 asks us this question. What if the most important voice in your life is the one you were listening to all day long? What if the most important voice in your life is the one you listen to all day long? Because your roots will always grow toward your deepest conversations. Your roots will always grow toward your deepest conversations. This summer, in June and July, we're going to be walking through portions of the book of Psalms. The Psalms are not primarily theological lectures. They're not doctrinal teachings. The Psalms, y'all, the Psalms are conversations. The Psalms are conversations. They're working conversations. St. Augustine, when it's a city, we say St. Augustine, but when it's a person, we say St. Augustine. Augustine said this. He said, in the rest of the Bible, God speaks to us, but in the Psalms, God speaks for us, and God speaks with us. The Psalms are an introduction to conversation. They're conversations with us when we are when we're faithful and hopeful. But if you read through the book of Psalms, you'll find the Psalms are also conversations with God for when we're angry or when we're afraid, for when we're thankful or when we're confused, for when we're worshipful or when we're lonely or where we're just plumb exhausted. The Psalms invite us to know that God is not afraid and God is not surprised by any part of our human experience or emotion. The Psalms teach us that any part of our experience can come to God in conversation, and there our roots can grow. Your roots can grow when that conversation with God becomes the deepest conversation of your life. Friends, we know this. Everyone is being formed by something. You are being formed by something. Here, again, the first verse of the first psalm. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Do you see that progression there? Friends, the Psalms, we know the Psalms are Old Testament poetry, but Old Testament poetry, Hebrew poetry, doesn't work like poetry we think of today. It doesn't have meter or a sing-song cadence, and it doesn't have to rhyme. The Psalms work, this is called synonymous parallelism, if you're a, you know, English teacher or whatever. Synonymous parallelism. They're saying the same thing over and over again with greater intensity. This is not three separate ways that you can walk toward destruction or rebellion. It's one direction. It's one process of formation. It's one way of life. You walk, and then you stand, and then you sit. There's the step, the way, or the company, the wicked, or the sinners, or the mockers. This is one gradually regressive shape of life. Now, many of you have had a vehicle, you've driven a car or a truck that has gotten out of alignment. You know what that feels like to ride down the road, and maybe you take your hand off the steering wheel for just a moment and you can feel the car, right? It's pulling to the right, or it's lurching a little bit to the left. Nobody wakes up intending to drive off the road and into the ditch. But we have this problem with our vehicles. Sometimes small misalignments become big departures over time. Psalm 1 is not warning us about a sudden collapse or calamity. Psalm 1 is a warning about subtle misalignment. We first are walking, and then we're standing, and then we're sitting. A little drift today becomes a completely different destination later because of, again, not external changes, and not because of some major life decision where we went wrong. It comes because of little choices or little compromises or little influences, little voices. And we find ourselves drifting away. You notice that. No one ever drifts toward God accidentally. No one ever drifts toward God accidentally. So here's your question. What is forming you? What is shaping you? What conversation is nurturing your roots right now? Is it the craziness of politics and cable news? Is it everything that the algorithm puts up on your social media feed? Is it the climate at your workplace? Is it your friend group? Is it some old place of wounding where your heart has been broken again and again and again? You don't become what you occasionally hear. You become what you consistently listen to, because your roots, friends, your roots will grow toward your deepest conversations. Notice this in verse 2. Blessed is the one who does not walk with the step with the wicked, but blessed is the one, verse 2, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. Notice this, friends. The Bible doesn't say, start meditating on God's law, and then God will be okay with you. He will tolerate your presence. He doesn't say that. There's an invitation here. There's an invitation for us to experience not distance, but closeness. Not duty or obligation, but delight. Delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on His law day and night. Y'all, meditation is not mandatory. Meditation is lingering. Meditation is lingering. It's holding out and replaying the best moments of life, the highest truths of life. Think to a moment where you were smitten. We don't use that word enough. Have you ever been smitten with a person? All you could think about was their smile or their looks or their words. Maybe you did like I did and have I still have it. I saw it when we moved in March from one house to another. I still have an old manila folder full of love notes. Only from Patty. I didn't save any other ones. Better clarify that. I think there are a few of those notes I can still smell. The faint aroma of the perfume she wore when we first met when we were in college. Friends, you meditate, you linger. This Hebrew word here, to meditate on the law day and night, it means in other contexts, it means to mutter or to murmur. Have you heard people kind of speaking under their breath, like they're rehearsing something? I got to do this, and then I got to do this, and then they're talking. This is it. It's meditate. It is rehearse. It is to chew on. Have you ever seen a happy dog with a big bone, and that dog will come back again and again and chew and lick and get every morsel of goodness and marrow out of that same bone and will not give up until it's all gone? That's what God invites us to do. That's what He lays out for us, the invitation to hear His voice. To let it get stuck in our head. You ever get a song stuck in your head? You weren't looking for it. You weren't trying to memorize it, but you absorbed it somehow, and there it is on replay over and over again. That's what can happen with the voice of God and the voice we hear in the Scripture. Meditation, when the Bible talks about meditating, is simply letting God's voice become louder and more present than any other voice in your life. That's all meditation is. Simply letting God's voice become louder than all the other voices. So let me add this little pastoral note. Here we are. This has been called the age of anxiety, the 21st century, the age of anxiety. And when people say, what does America produce in addition to the things our factories or our centers of intellect produce, I think it's undeniable that in the 21st century we somehow produce anxiety. And anxiety, I don't want to add anxiety to anxiety, but anxiety is sort of a dark version of meditation. It's seeing and holding to the wrong things instead of the right things. You know it. Worry works like this. We turn the same thoughts over and over in our minds. We rehearse the worst case scenario. We replay those conversations and imagine future dangers that aren't even here. It's exactly what Psalm 1 calls us to. But instead of meditating on God's law and God's truth, we meditate on fear and lack and future. Regan Griffith, who's one of the pastors at Church of the City, New York, shared a message recently, and I'm borrowing a little bit from her because it's so succinct. She reminds us that modern neuroscience, now this isn't just ancient truth, but modern neuroscience confirms this. Meditation, whether positive or negative, meditation can carve neural pathways in our brain, so that either goodness or worry become our default response. Again, the neuroscience reminds us that we can choose to plant ourselves either in the soil of our own problems or in the word and character of God. What Reagan says about her own experience of anxiety. She says, there are times when my brain was hardwiring lies about God. He's not powerful enough, or he's not good enough to show up. Lies about our identity. I am unseen. I am on my own in life. And lies about our purpose. My life hangs completely on this small thing I'm holding to right in front of me. The key movement from anxiety to peace, Reagan says, is a deliberate shift of meditation to catch that anxious spiral and instead of letting it run, choosing to re-meditate. on God's purpose, on God's power, on His care, on prayer, and on thanksgiving. Now, there are medical options that can give a jump start to the solution of anxiety. But in addition and alongside that medical intervention is the need to retrain our brains. To retrain our brains. And that's what the Bible is promising us right here. That person, here it is. Here it is, the roots, friends. The roots will show you what kind of fruit will come. Verse 3, that person, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Planted by streams of water. Y'all, nobody posts pictures. Nobody goes into a forest and takes photographs of the roots of the trees, right? Nobody brags about the roots, but the roots, y'all, determine everything. The health and the location of the root determines everything. Psalm 1 does not promise us a painless life or a wealthy life or an easy life, but it does promise us a way of stability. Fruit may be seasonal. Fruit will come and go, but roots are daily. Roots are regular. Everybody wants fruit, but does everybody invest in roots? We want the influence, we want the success and the respect and the good family, but roots happen privately. Roots happen slowly. Roots happen consistently. And this, friends, roots are where friendship with God really emerges. The roots are where friendship with God really emerges. Because if you notice this, a tree planted by water, a tree is not striving. A tree is not really working. The tree is simply connected. It's connected to the place of living water. Jesus said it, didn't he, in John 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. Psalm 1 says you are planted by streams of water. It's almost like the whole Bible is the same sermon, right? Life, true life, comes from connection. A healthy tree doesn't have to focus on producing fruit. The focus is on connecting to the source and letting the roots grow toward that life-giving water. And maybe that is the invitation for us this summer. Not that this is the summer when we become spiritual superheroes, but it is the summer when we decide to stay connected to the stream, to let our roots grow toward living water. And that's what brings us to the Lord's table this morning. Because when we come to the Lord's table, we're reminded that the Christian life, your life as a follower of Jesus, your life does not begin with you. It begins with Jesus Christ. It begins not with your pursuit of God, but with God's pursuit of you. Because before we ever delighted in Him or His Word, He took great delight in us. Before we sought Him, He was seeking us. Before we loved Him, He loved us. And so Psalm 1 really is an invitation to friendship with God. Not just information about God or rules from God, but friendship with God. So maybe your prayer as we prepare for the table and into the coming week, maybe your prayer is not like, help me try harder to meditate. Maybe your prayer is this, Lord, plant me deeper. Lord, plant me closer, root me closer, and teach me what it is to delight. What it is to delight in your voice. Lord, keep me near the stream of living water. And so when we come to the table, that's our prayer as well, that we'll draw close so that we can grow deep. And we'll come close to receive this gift of grace, not because our roots are as deep as they could be or should be, Not because our fruit is as abundant as we would like it to be. We come because Jesus is still the source of life. We come because Jesus is still feeding his people. We come because he is still inviting us to remain near him. Near the water, like that tree, the disciple of Jesus survives because he or she is close to Jesus and connected to Jesus. So come to the table. Come hungry. Come thirsty. Come weary. Come and receive from the one whose river never runs dry. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we're thankful for this invitation to be in your presence at your table, in a place and a time that you have prepared for us. Father, as we come, we acknowledge that nothing we feel or think is a surprise to you today. And so because you've given us your everything in Jesus, we bring you our everything. Amen.